So how come there is still a $2.2 trillion trade finance gap, which primarily affects the MSMEs?
We run two large cap liquidity funds. We provide weekly liquidity payments to our investors. That is very competitive, and it matches several money market funds that provide T+5 liquidity to them.
I'm Dipesh Patel, editor at Trade Finance Global.
I'm Bertrand de Cominges, Managing Director at Santander Alternative Investments.
Welcome to Trade Finance Talks, your go-to trade, treasury and payments podcast brought to you by TFG.
The global trade finance gap expanded to $2.2 trillion. That's trillion with a T, US dollars in 2022. And it looks like that number is only going to get bigger in the next few years. To inject more liquidity into the trade finance space and make it easier for businesses to get the funding they need to grow internationally, many financiers are looking to the emerging concept of trade finance as an asset class. Do trade finance assets really have a place in investment portfolios? And what role do regulations and rating agencies play in helping safeguard and standardize this emerging area? We want to understand more about how trade finance can fit into a broader investment strategy and to learn more about future trends that could shape this investment class. And today, we're at the ITFA and BCR Second Trade and Investment Forum here in London. And that's why today I'm joined by Bertrand de Cominges, Managing Director and Global Head of Trade Finance Investments at Santander Alternative Investments. Bertrand, welcome back to Trade Finance Talks.
Thank you. It's my pleasure. It's 3.5 years now.
3.5 years. I think ITFA Bristol, their annual conference 3.5 years ago. Well remembered. Bertrand, I'm going to jump straight into this podcast. Why are trade finance assets becoming an increasingly attractive option for diversified investment portfolios?
Well, I think there are several factors into that. First of all, when you are financing trade finance, you are financing the real economy. So you can understand the flows because you consume those assets. You use those assets regularly. And when you engage the right professionals, actually, you can understand what is behind your investments. And that's very important. Additionally to that, there have been a change in regulation recently or in the past few years. And that's forcing a very strong private market that is basically led by the banks with their main clients to open the doors to other investors for capital efficiency reasons. And that's basically giving an opportunity to other alternative investors, private investors, institutional investors to enter into that private market through different funds that have been established for that reason. And last but not least, if we check to the track record of our large cap funds, trade finance is enormously more stable than any other asset class of that. The performance is phenomenal, has been phenomenal for many decades. The banks know that. That's why they kept this market private between themselves and their clients. But that's very attractive compared to money market funds, to term deposits, to any other alternative, short-term investment alternative out there. And that's working very well, of course.
It's a very interesting asset class. I think you mentioned in our last interview, it's a recurring facility. It's 30-day, it's short-term, it's a revolving facility. Have you seen interest from institutional and retail investors actually grow in terms of the amount of capital they're putting into trade finance? And how has that changed over recent years?
Well, there is lots of education. Well, the answer to your question is yes, definitely yes. There is an increased interest from institutional, retail, and private debt investors as well in the asset class. It will keep growing because there is a big effort of education happening. They are getting used to it. Our funds are growing double digits monthly, to give you an idea, because they are getting used to it. They are investing into it. They are understanding it. They are realizing that there is a crisis in Eastern Europe or in the Middle East and others. Actually, the asset class is performing very, very well and to the promises made by trade finance experts, specialists, and that's working well. It's still the industry, and that's why we launched the ITFA working group at ITFA. Still, the industry needs to make an effort to give much more detail on the information, much more transparency. So we will be able to access other type of investors available for the trade finance industry.
That actually leads quite well into my next question, because I think there's a lot of work to be done in terms of education and standardizing trade finance as an investable asset class, because that's something we've been talking about for quite a long time, right?
Absolutely. That education through ITFIE, it is important that to understand the requirements from the different institutional investors, because they are not the same. When a pension fund invests, or a life insurance company, or a private debt fund invests in your assets, the requirements are always different. And they are subject to different regulation in their industries and the country they operate from. And that's where the industry needs to work together to raise the transparency on the data share and the information. We are focusing now on the large cap risk, investment-grade companies doing trade finance at the end of the day. We are not covering the SME market. The SME market, we have a specialized funds at Santander Alternative Investments in providing trade finance for SMEs with the right partners. And those funds have been operating for some time, that type of business. It's not done by the banks, by the major banks these days. It's done by specialist lenders, non-bank financial institutions. This is an area we see of growth that will keep growing for many years, and there is as well a big opportunity to have a social impact.
So how come there is still a $2.2 trillion trade finance gap, which primarily affects the MSMEs?
At the end of the day, it's a question of trust, isn't it? When you buy something and you don't trust your counterparty, what do you demand? You demand cash. And that cash comes in actual liquidity or through a credit card. When the volumes begin increasing, you will be using letters of credit or guarantees. And that's a complex, because you need to engage a bank on the seller, another bank on the buyer. Complexity arrives to the overall structure. And regulation happens everywhere. There is regulation in every country, so you need to accommodate the trade finance solution to each one of the jurisdictions. Trade happens, and trade happens everywhere in the world, every single minute of the day. That's where the gap grows. Otherwise, it will be covering cash, because this is where the risk management begins. You move into open account when you actually have trust on your buyer. That's the reality. In the old days, you will go to your tailor to order a suit. If they didn't know you, they will demand an upfront payment, total or partially. As you keep working with them, they will open you an account. What opening an account to you means that you wouldn't need to pay upfront. You may pay once a year, for example, for the different suits. That happens every day in trade. Is that open account that is being funded by the banks? Is the SME to SME business that is much more difficult to materialize because it's costly for financial institutions?
Hey, enjoying this podcast? Hit that follow button for more. Done? Let's get back to it.
Liquidity is a really critical factor for money market funds or MMFs. Do trade finance assets meet the liquidity requirements set by the regulators? I know you mentioned some recent updates over the last few years from that perspective. And how do they actually stack up against other assets in MMFs?
We do believe it meets them, but there's more work to be done by the big asset originators on that front. We run two large cap liquidity funds. We provide weekly liquidity payments to our investors. That is very competitive, and it matches several money market funds that provide T+5 liquidity to them. Trade finance is competitive when you work on the top notch of the risk scale, let's say, with a bit large cap investment grade companies. And that's very competitive as well as stable. But ideally, we should be providing daily liquidity to our investors. And for that, more collaboration effort needs to be done.
And how do you foresee ratings agencies actually adapting those methodologies to accommodate for trade finance assets within MMF?
I could extend for hours here. Let's focus not on the SME business, where actually factoring companies could securitize their assets as asset-based securitization or asset-based commercial paper assets, and this could be included into money market funds. Let's focus on the large cap, where actually the big volumes of trade finance is today sitting in the balance sheet of the big banks. What we are doing is transitioning from a private market to the public markets. And for that, a rating will be ideal, but that requires full transparency on the underlying assets, full transparency and disclosure to the different parties, as you do in every market. You want me to invest in this asset. You want me to understand the asset. I need to have the data. And of course, you are moving from a private relationship into a public market. It's not that easy, because this is your business at the end of the day, isn't it? But today, trade finance is being rated in several aspects. You have asset-based securitization and asset-based commercial paper extractors that are being rated, and they are currently operating into the market. You have as well funds that are rated funds on trade finance that are dedicated to supply chain finance and to trade loans. These funds actually, in the supply chain finance angle, they have a joint and several liability against a rated entity, always as part of the syndicate of entities in that structure. That facilitates the effort and the work of the rating agents. The third point is that rating agencies have different methodologies for funds, for closed-ended funds, for ABS structures and other elements, and they need to accommodate this. Ideally, we should take all the letters of credit business as well as all the receivables finance business and being able to structure this in a way that is a hybrid between ABS, asset-based securitization, and fund rating. And that should allow the trade finance industry to access the whole universe of institutional investors and access billions of dollars and euros of pools of assets into the industry.
Thank you very much for talking us through that. Bertrand, looking ahead, what trends do you predict will shape the future of trade finance? And what do we really need to do to build out trade finance as an asset class? And my analogy here, one of our colleagues said, how can we make sure what's needed to see the trade finance ticker on the Bloomberg terminal?
Transparency will come our way. That's the reality. There needs to be trust among the different players that operate in the industry. Data needs to be shared, because from that private market into the public markets, and then everything will happen by itself. Also, the fund industry in trade finance is today limited. There are few handful players. Actually, we have three of them in the ITFIA working group. There are not that many outside that working group on those three players, because they need to be very specialized. That's the reality. They need to understand trade finance as well. But as these funds keep growing in the current terms, this will become much more popular asset class, and education will keep increasing around the world to the different investors. So they will get at easy with the structure. I can only see an increasing growth. If you work with the right parties, this will always keep growing.
Bertrand, thank you very much. You've covered quite a lot there, in particular, the reason why the formation of ITFI within the International Trade and Forward-Facing Association is really important to grow trade finance as an asset class. You've talked about the favorable regulation. You've talked about some of the challenges with rating agencies actually accommodating trade finance assets, and you've talked about the two really important items that we need to address in order to grow the asset class, which is transparency and trust. Bertrand, thank you for joining us at the ITFA BCR Trade and Investment Forum.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.